Hi, and welcome to the Friends Church Podcast. It's Jeff here, and I'm excited that you're willing to carve out some time to listen to one of our Sunday messages. You were part of a growing community of online listeners who are downloading our messages to support their spiritual journeys, to find ways to make a positive impact in their world, which is really exciting because that's exactly why we're providing this podcast. If you're finding value in what we're doing, I would like to ask you to join others within our tribe who financially support the work of Friends Church. Some view their support in a similar way that they see their monthly fitness club or boot camp dues, where they're paying 50 to 200 bucks a month. Others see it similar to their Apple Music or SoundCloud subscription, where they're paying 10 to 15 bucks a month. Amounts are personal to everyone, but every dollar donated will go into products like this. If you're willing, you can donate easily by visiting www.friendschurch.ca and clicking the red donate button. This will lead you to the Canada Helps portal that is used by many nonprofit organizations to process credit card payments. Just enter your information, including your donation amount, and click the General Fund tab. On behalf of Friends Church Tribe, welcome. We're glad you found us, and thank you. Now enjoy this week's message.
Good morning, everyone. There's a lot of stuff going on this morning. It really feels like that. So to be up here and sharing, you know, after I've been at Friends, my name's Trevor. I've been here just over a decade, and this is what happens. You get up and start speaking. So you guys all have something to look forward to now, right? No, I'm involved in quite a few things, all volunteer, and I really do appreciate the opportunities I get when I have a chance to come up and sort of share something that's usually been on my heart for quite a while. And this is one of those messages for sure. I hope that you're having a wonderful start to your holiday season. This is kind of inspiring weather. It'd be nicer if I was sitting in front of the fireplace right now, but we'll all get there hopefully at some point today. But really, I mean, Christmas is just right around the corner. And I mean, that's a lot of family, it's a lot of friends, it's a lot of fun, and a lot of hockey. Okay. So you're all stretched because I'm going to ask you to participate in a little imagination exercise this morning. I want you to start, I want you to pretend you're an 11-year-old child. And you're a good hockey player. Now, it doesn't matter if you're not an 11-year-old child and you can't skate. Just imagine. And one more thing. This 11-year-old child, your parents recently got divorced. Do you have this kid? Okay. So you don't get to see your dad that often, except when he comes out to the occasional hockey game to watch you play. And when he comes out, you're always going to be at your best. You just want to impress him so much. And so at your next hockey game, you're warming up, and you see your dad come into the rink, and you're like, he's kind of like, mm-hmm. And your dad, he doesn't sit with the other parents. He always goes off to the one side and sort of sits where the goalie, right behind the goalie, and just watching the game. And you know he's watching. And you're ready to play your best. And you give it everything you've got. And you can hear your dad, right? Hustle back! Hustle back! Get the puck! You know he's watching. And you make some great plays and you score a gorgeous goal. And you make some bad plays. And the other team scores a couple goals against you. Game's over. You're coming out of the dressing room. You're so excited to see your dad. You played so hard. You're asking him, did you see what I did for you? You did this for your dad. What words can he feel that'll touch your heart? What if instead he says, looked a little bit lazy out there on those two shifts. Too bad they scored against you. What just happened right here? Just some words. But they weren't what you wanted to hear, were they? Can I invite you back to whatever age you are, whatever hockey skills you have? Deep breath. I asked you to imagine the story as a child because I think sometimes as children, we just don't know what we don't know yet. And sometimes we're a little bit more vulnerable. Sometimes we haven't created all the filters yet. And I wanted us to feel that. Because we felt that sometimes even as adults. You know, you work late, entire project finally finishes on time. You don't even get recognized at the company meeting. You clean the entire house so your partner can just come home relaxed. You missed a spot. You make a big dinner for everyone's favorites, and they wolf it down, and no one said boo. So you're asking, did you see what I did for you? Did you see what I did for you? And this need to sort of be recognized when we take action for someone, it doesn't diminish as we turn into these big adults. We want to be acknowledged for something we did for someone. It's actually at the core of healthy relationships. In a healthy relationships, your actions are recognized. We're on this series, and this is one of the A's. It's appreciation. And it's foundational to adult relationships. That's what I want to share with you this morning. I'm going to take you back one holiday only, Thanksgiving, and you get to be yourself this time. So it's a great holiday season. It's full of pies and turkey and friends and family, and it's awesome. And every family, I noticed, has different traditions around like this holiday, but we have the one, and we start with the, what are you thankful for? Now, your family might do this too. It's kind of fun. And I was the one asking this year, so you think I would know better. Because I start with the kids. I said, you know, to my son, what are you thankful for? Oh, my friends. I turn to his friend who's right beside him. What are you thankful for? Oh, my family. I'm like, pretty smart kids. They're taking all the low-hanging fruit, aren't they? It gets to my neighbors. So Clive and Lita are over, and they've hosted us for a ton of events. It's just a pleasure to have them over. And I asked Lita, what are you thankful for? She says, work. I'm glad I'm still working. I'm really starting to scramble because I don't know what's left. And then her husband's turn, Clive. And you have to know Clive. He's one of those quiet analytical types. Okay, I need to know how quiet. Clive is an engineer who teaches math, and he loves it. I've been at dinners where Clive has spoken less than 5 sentences. That type of quiet. You might have people like that in your own lives. So go to Clive. Clive, what are you thankful for? Well, I'm thankful that our families share events like this together. It spreads out the work and increases the joy. I'm really thankful for that. And he's a bit choked up when he says it. It's like he recognizes my family's part of his. Yeah, we did this for him, and Clive saw it. He's sharing his appreciation. It was beautiful. I was like, wow, that was awesome. I felt totally appreciated. My family felt appreciated. You could just feel the energy just lift. I can't even remember what my answer was anymore. I really can't, because after that, it all just went away. But I thought about this an awful lot, and I thought, you know, Clive was answering a much better question than I asked. He was answering, who are you thankful for? And his answer was inspiring. It was heartfelt. Let me ask you that question. Who are you thankful for? Who are the people in your life that because they're there, they just make your life easier or more fun, or they help you carry the heavy load sometimes when you need it? Is it a mom? A dad? Is it a spouse? Maybe a boyfriend, a girlfriend? Maybe it's your kids, son or daughter? Maybe it's your best friend, that person you know you can always call and they're there for you. Maybe it's a training partner. You always get out of bed because you'll know they'll be there. Maybe your coworkers are terrific and they just make work fun. Who are the people in your life that when you think about them, oh man, they just add that joy? Who are you thankful for? Do you feel good just thinking about this? Like those people in your life? Do they know it? All these wonderful people in my life, do they know how appreciative I am of them? I can say I don't think I show appreciation near enough. Are you, maybe you're better at this. Do you show them a lot of appreciation? You know, I thought about this and I'm like, well, do I even have to all the time? Like, don't they kind of know how thankful I am? Like if my son takes out the garbage, My wife gives me a hug. If my mom phones to talk. If my dad works out at the gym with me. When my running partner drives instead of me. Like, do I really have to show appreciation each time? The series that we're doing right now is inspired by a book. I brought it. Ooh. How to Be an Adult in Relationships. David Rico talks about the importance of appreciating people in your life for what they do. Now, I found this book to be a bit of a long read and politely has a little bit too much poetry for my taste. And yet it's dramatically changed how I interact with people. See, I was appreciating people in my life for what they do when it's something I wanted. Well, seems perfectly reasonable to me. Many people show up in a way that I want them to show up. Thanks. Appreciate that. Listen, if someone gets us an ugly Christmas sweater that we really didn't want, do we really have to show appreciation? If someone cooks us dinner of lobster knowing we're allergic to shellfish, do we really have, like, what is going on in their heads? And yet, people are doing all these things, and they're asking indirectly, do you see what I did for you? And that's the part of the book that just completely blew my mind. It changed my perspective. See, David Rico suggests you have to stop. You have to just stop appreciating people in your life for what you wish they would do. As I thought about that, I just have expectations of people. Like, one, I want them to do in my life, and they're really big. And the challenge with those big expectations, they can keep me from seeing what they're actually bringing to my life. If a loved one keeps showing up and we don't acknowledge that action again and again and again and again, I think that can lead to some resentment. We need to show that we did see what they did, even if we didn't want it. The wonderful artist whose paintings you guys saw at the back, he's a dear friend. Rex, where are you? Would you wave? That's the very happy Rex. Thank you, Rex. Rex has been a wonderful teacher. And one of the interesting things about art is that perspective matters. Now, if you took an art class, you might know that. I never did, so I learned. And if you back up from art sometimes, or if you go to the left or to the right, or even goofy enough, if you kind of go down sometimes and up, the way light hits it, perspective changes. And that's interesting. Because when I go back to the original and look at it again, it's more complete somehow. Except it's not just about art. I got to share this with you because this is just geeky stuff. Doctors who take art classes are more accurate in their diagnosis. Who knew? Up to 30% more accurate. No additional training, just an art class. And here's what one of the doctors had said. If I can highlight my favorite part. It made me realize that you have to take everything into consideration to properly render it artistically or treat it medically. They had to take in everything. They had to reframe their position. And suddenly, considering a picture from multiple angles can suddenly look very different. I mean, really, really different. And this is the approach that I'm trying to take as I realize I don't have the full picture. And in terms of appreciation, it can help me acknowledge what they did for me, even if it wasn't what I wanted. A very good friend of mine has a profound story on changing perspective. It just illustrates this point and its impact on his life. I want to invite Jerry Smiley up to the stage. Jerry's a husband. He's a grandpa. He's a project manager. He's a writer. He's a storyteller. And I'm proud to call him a friend. Jerry?
Good morning, Trevor.
Good morning, Jerry. Your story?
So my parents divorced when I was 15 years old, and I was angry. I was really angry at my mom because I thought it was her fault, and I was really angry at my dad because he's the one that moved out. I didn't get to see him that often, and I was just really a very angry young man. A couple of years later, I was going to SAIT, taking computer technology, and my father set up this every Friday lunch date. 11:30 every Friday, he'd show up. SAIT, we'd go over to Simpson Sears, to their cafeteria. It was barren of beef week, or day, rather. So, same restaurant, same meal, same conversation. How are you? Fine. How are you? Fine. Never talked about our divorce. Never talked about much of anything. And quite frankly, it was awkward, uncomfortable hour, and I didn't want to be there. I'd rather be home with my friends. I remember one Friday in particular, we'd finished our midterm exams. We were all going to have lunch, go to a movie. I couldn't go, because there I was, sitting in this cafeteria for an hour. I thought about that memory years later when I was a less angry Jerry, and my dad and I were closer. And I thought of something that was really important. My dad was a railroad engineer, worked for Canadian Pacific Railway. They have a method there for deciding when you go to work. It's pretty simple. There's a list of names. You're at the bottom. You work your way up to the top. When you get to the top, you take the next train out of town, spend the night, come back the next day. But the thing with that is you don't know when you're going to go to work. Could be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. Don't know what time. You have no control over when you're out of town, when you're in town. So how did my dad pick me up every Friday at 11:30 for lunch? He'd been around long enough. He had some seniority, could make some decisions. So he worked what's called a yard engine. A yard engine, you don't go out of town. You work a shift. You work the same shift every day, 4 to midnight, same days off every week. But here's what's significant about that. When you work in the yard as opposed to the road, you work way more hours and you make way, way less money. So my dad made a decision that it was worth more to him to spend one uncomfortable hour a week with me than to make more money. And that changed that memory for me completely.
Wow. Wow. Thanks, Jerry. I mean, that's an obvious story about perspective all of a sudden, isn't it? I mean, sometimes a moment doesn't seem like we should appreciate it at all. Simpson Sears, the Reef and Beef, the Beef Baron. That was the Simpson Sears cafeteria. That was not good food, kids. Not good food. But what had Jerry's dad had done to just make sure that lunch happened every week? The effort his dad had to make for that uncomfortable hour, the cut and pay. And now Jerry can look at it differently. So who are the people in your life who are helping you? Is that your parents again? Your spouse? The friend? The coworker? Have you taken a moment, just for a moment, and consider how much effort it takes for them to show up? And are we acknowledging that effort? Let's say you're hosting a party. It's a season, right? And you tell one of your friends, would you be so kind to pick up the wine? He said, sure, no problem. I'll pick up the wine. How many do you need? 10 bottles will do. Great. So your friend shows up, got a case, this looks promising. And he's there a little bit early to help you set up. You're like, okay, great. All right, let's go through this. I got one, I got two. That's looking good. Four. I'm at four. I'm at six. I'm at eight. Oh, there's one, two, three, four, nine. Did I say 10? Oh, yeah, your friend says, yeah, you said 10, but I thought 9 would be sufficient.
Oh.
If this was your friend, how would you be feeling at this very moment? Pretty clear instructions. I said, bring 10, you've got 9. Are you very happy? I certainly wouldn't be. Well, do you feel like saying thank you? Or showing any appreciation? Does someone have to meet 100% of our needs before we show them appreciation? Does someone have to meet all of your needs before you can show them gratitude? All. And that was the part of the book that just changed it for me. See, I'm waiting for those people in my life to show up with 10 bottles. And if I don't, I'm not showing them appreciation. They ain't earned it. Right? Are you waiting? Does someone have to meet 100% of your needs before you can show them appreciation? If you think about that for a moment, it doesn't sound very realistic when you say it out loud, does it? Not in every moment. It doesn't even sound humanly possible. David Rico in the book, David Rico is calling us this, calls it childish. It's childish behavior. If you expect someone to show up and meet your needs, all of them, you're going to be disappointed. And if that's what's playing in your mind, I said 10. You're unlikely to acknowledge what they did do. They showed up with 9 bottles of wine and they showed up early to help you set up. And it's the challenge. That friend wants to be acknowledged. It's adult. They want to be appreciated for what they did. You want to be appreciated for the extra time you took on the project, the big dinner you cooked, the house you cleaned. You want that. Do you see what I did for you? Now, that doesn't mean you need fireworks and a ticker tape parade every time. But acknowledgement's a good place to start. That 11-year-old kid who played it so hard for his dad, he just wanted a few words. Just a few words. Not many. So if we want to be adults in relationships, we all want to be adults in relationships, how many bottles should you appreciate? Oh, this was the disturbing part for me. Because David Rico says that a healthy relationship is when they are meeting your needs about a third of the time. 3 bottles. That's healthy. I read that section a few times. 3 bottles. I'm like, you can't be serious. But it is. If you're dealing with other people, if they're showing up with 3, see, it's appreciating people in your life, not for what you wish they do, but what they do. This is cool. It makes my life a little bit better. Jeff acknowledged 2 weeks ago the hardest part of being an adult in relationships. It has to start with me. See, that's hard. I'd like to be appreciated. I want those around to acknowledge when I turn up for them. And I'm kind of supposed to start it. You know, with some people in my life, this is easy. My Thanksgiving neighbors, oh, simple. My wife? Pretty good. My parents, yeah. My son, yes. But with others? What about those people in your life who never seem to do anything worth appreciating them for? Because I think we all have them. And you could tell me, I don't know your brother-in-law. I don't know your father. I don't know your boss or your spouse, and you're right. I don't. But keeping Rex's idea of painting in mind, and Jerry's story on perspective. Maybe there's another point of view here. Maybe I have to see it from their side. I gotta struggle with this myself. Because I have a person in my life who I struggle to appreciate. Chances are you don't know my little brother. See, this is Kirk. And if I had to sum my little brother up, I would say intelligent, smooth talker. So that means he would find lots of shortcuts. Doesn't matter if it was the right thing to do, he would do it, assuming he could talk his way out of it. And he usually did. His life seemed to be on the right path. He had got married, had a son, another child on the way. And 16 years ago, that turned. It's strange. Kirk had picked up a hitchhiker and for some reason took him into his home. And then this man had some bizarre beliefs about life that my brother somehow got convinced were the right ones. And he sold everything. And his family followed him as they headed out on the road, pregnant wife and son. Now, you can imagine as a family member, this was hard on me. Like, who just picks up and sells everything? You know, I felt I was just having an out relationship with my brother, and then he's off. But he still kept in contact with me and my parents, and my parents convinced him, go to reprogrammer, go to retreat. And he was right, so it seemed. You know, as I think about the story from Kirk's point of view, I'm asking myself, do you see what I did for you? And he kept in contact. I mean, I guess I can appreciate that. Could I be open to maybe from his point of view, he was struggling with things in his own life, and just that effort alone was huge? I guess. It has to start with me. So Kirk gets back on track, and I'm helping him move into his new house in Cochrane, and I'm proud of him. Business growing, family building. Just before the birth of his third kid, 14 years ago, he left. Just left their family in a new home, walked out. Pregnant wife, two kids. I bet you thought you had some skeletons in your family closet, eh? What am I supposed to show appreciation for? Like, it seems for me, I'm asking my little brother, can you see I keep coming back and picking up the pieces? Like, this is crazy. I'm not feeling anything. I mean, I remember being at my brother's house in Cochrane, and I'm babysitting my niece and nephew, and we rented a Disney movie, Treasure Planet. Snuggled up on the couch, thinking this is all good. And there's a scene of the dad walking out on the kid. And I'm looking at my niece and nephew, and I'm just like, what in the hell? Crazy. But Kirk, he made contact again. He discovered the 12 tribes. It's a religious cult group. It is. Brought his family in. We can visit. They've been in Winnipeg for the last decade. Don't visit Winnipeg in the winter. See, I think for Kirk, he, from his point of view, I should be appreciative. There's still contact. He's open for visits. He's making an effort. Can I appreciate that? It's hard to do. In the last 15 years, my brother has made zero family events. Zero. Not Christmas, not birthdays, not reunions. Zero. And we can visit, but it's on his schedule. You know, as I look at this relationship, I don't think I can say one. I don't think I can. So last spring, I take my son. We go to visit his Uncle Kirk. And my brother's teaching my son how to make a chai latte. And I damn near cried. Because you see, when Kirk gives you his undivided attention, he just makes people shine. And I saw him make my sunshine that morning. Just shine. And it was so hard because that's all the time he has for me and my family right now. It's hard to appreciate that. And maybe because of all the baggage, maybe I can't. But I am trying. I'm trying. For me, I've had to let go of my notion of what I think a brother should be. It's just in my head. I have to let it go. And I have to appreciate him for when he shows up. It's not what I'd hope for, but it is what is.
Can we agree that showing appreciation may be a little bit more complicated than just thank you every once in a while? Because lots of relationships have baggage, don't they? But I feel if I change my perspective, most of the people in my life are showing up and I can thank them for that. Acknowledging those people for what they do. But you know, there's another challenging part, and that is we have to pay attention. We have to move beyond our expectations of 9 bottles. And when my wife does the laundry, even if it doesn't all get folded properly, thank you. My son practices his trumpet, at least it's in the basement, thank you. My mother-in-law cleans the floor for the 5th day in a row, it looks really good, thank you. My training partner drives a truck that morning, even though we almost get into 3 accidents, thank you. What about your life? Can you show appreciation even for the hard people? Appreciating the people in your life for what they do. The brother-in-law who brings the wine, doesn't matter, he's going to drink it all. The boss that at least once a year acknowledges your work. The friend who's 4 months late in returning your phone call. And all those who do show up, can we appreciate them? That 11-year-old child, that 11-year-old child is alive in all of us. And if you start thinking about the work and the perspective it takes for them, and you stop seeing it from your side, and maybe see it from theirs, it might allow you to really appreciate what they're bringing. It's a very different image all of a sudden, isn't it? Why do I think this message is so timely? Whew. We're about to go into the trenches, ladies and gentlemen. You are about to be given many chances to be an adult over the Christmas season. Many chances. But imagine this season's a little bit different because you get it really right. You start seeing your families and friends and coworkers and all those people in your life who are showing up and you're just saying, that's awesome. You're taking the time to appreciate them. Really acknowledging everyone in your life. What will happen with that holiday season? What will happen to those people around you when you're filling that 11-year-old child that we all have with love and hope and appreciation? Let's pray for a moment. Oh my goodness, Lord, I don't get this right near enough. And I'm hoping for all of us. Just allow us the opportunity to really show what people are bringing in our lives and acknowledge them. Amen. Have a great Sunday. Thank you, Rex. Thank you, Jerry. Thank all of you.